We hope you find this WILL podcast to be valuable. A $10 voluntary credit card contribution at willpledge.org will help us continue to make podcasts of our programs available. Thank you. And that address again is willpledge.org. WILLPLEDGE.ORG. Now here's your program.
Scattered showers, the high 70, the wind light and from the east. Tonight cloudy with scattered showers, the low 57. The wind will be light and from the southeast this evening, then becoming calm. Tomorrow mostly cloudy with scattered showers, the high 75. The wind light and from the east tomorrow. Tomorrow night mostly cloudy with a low of 57 and a light northeast wind. Sunday partly sunny, look for a high of 80. The wind will be light and from the northwest. Sunday night partly cloudy with a low in the upper 50s. Monday and Monday night mostly clear. We'll see a high Monday in the mid 80s and a low Monday night in the low 60s. Tuesday mostly sunny with a high in the mid 80s. At noon Central Time, conditions across the two states mostly cloudy. Temperatures ranged from the low 60s to the low 70s. In Rockford, where it was partly sunny, 73 degrees was reported. At O'Hare, where it was cloudy, 67. Light rain reported at Bloomington, where it was 66 degrees. Mattoon checked in with 63 degrees. Carbondale, 65. At South Bend, 72 degrees. There it was mostly sunny. Lafayette, 68 degrees. Indianapolis, 66 degrees. Terre Haute, 67. Willard Airport reported a cloudy sky at the top of the hour, the temperature 64. The dew point 59, the relative humidity 83%, the wind out of the east at 5, the barometric pressure 29.95 and rising. And at 12:39, 64 degrees in Urbana on the campus of the University of Illinois. After the terrorist strikes on September 11, 2001, the U.S. government vowed to do all it could to make Americans safer. But a new report shows the U.S. lagging in key areas. The 9/11 Commission, which made recommendations in the months following the attacks, says the country remains vulnerable. Former Illinois Governor Jim Thompson served on that panel. It crafted a blueprint for national security. Thompson says a decade after the attacks, more needs to be done. He spoke with Illinois Public Radio's Sean Crawford.
I think obviously we're safer today than we were 10 years ago on a number of counts. First, there have not been any major acts or attempts at terrorism within the boundaries of our country in the last 10 years, except for two failed attempts. The attempted bombing of the airliner on Christmas Eve in Detroit a couple of years ago, and the attempted bombing in Times Square, both of which went awry. So those things didn't happen. Had they been more sophisticated and had those attacks worked, obviously we would be in a much different situation. So there's a couple reasons. One, we've been lucky. Both Detroit and Times Square illustrate that, and luck is important. Secondly, I think it's fair to say that airline travel is much more protected and much more safe than it was 10 years ago. The cockpits have been hardened. How we deal with hijackers is different than what the rules were 10 years ago. The screening at the airports is much more intense and sophisticated. Travelers taking off the shoes, taking off anything metal, going through, occasionally being subject to pat downs or frisks. But there's no question that we have not had a repetition of what happened on 9/11. But it doesn't mean we're safe. We are safer, but not safe. And the report that we issued the other day was meant to demonstrate that we could be even safer, we believe, if the unfilled recommendations of the 9/11 Commission were to be acted upon now.
What would you say are among the most important of those recommendations that need to be addressed?
The first is the question of first responders, police and fire, being able to talk to each other at the scene of a disaster or at the scene of a terrorist act. They can't now. They can in New York City, but they can't in the rest of the nation. They couldn't on 9/11. The police and fire departments of the city of New York could not speak to each other over the radios. They were different spectrum. So for 10 years, we have been pushing for a release of part of the radio spectrum by Congress that would be devoted to first responders to be used in emergencies, either terrorist acts or natural disasters like hurricanes. We had no first responder capability at Katrina. We didn't have it at Irene. So for both the natural disasters and for terrorist attacks, we need the people on the scene to be able to talk to each other to save lives.
When we're talking about the need to invest a lot of money, and I assume many of these recommendations would require quite an investment, is that sellable to the general public at this point?
Well, actually, you know what? Most of them don't require a lot of money. We spend $80 billion a year, at least, on national intelligence efforts now. And we have all of these federal agencies involved and responsible. But if you look at the nine areas that we said were still falling short, with the exception of the devotion of the radio spectrum to first responders, what we've called for is the elimination of bureaucracy. Take for example, the recommendation as to Congress. There are now over 100 committees and subcommittees of Congress that have a piece of the action involving intelligence and national security. Our intelligence apparatus and those who run it, and our homeland security apparatus and those who run it, spend an inordinate amount of time testifying before all of these committees of Congress, preparing to testify before all of these committees of Congress, when they could be using that time to better ensure our security.
That's former Illinois Governor Jim Thompson, a member of the 9/11 Commission. He spoke with Illinois Public Radio's Sean Crawford. The September 11th attacks have had particular consequences for America's Muslims. They've been accused of not speaking out loudly enough or against the attacks, or even harboring new attackers. But two Champaign-Urbana Muslims say they've found strong community support in the face of such charges. Illinois Public Media's Jim Meadows has this final report in our series, Remembering 9/11, 10 Years Later.
The September 11th terrorist attacks were fresh in Ibrahima Ndoye's mind when I interviewed him 10 years ago. Speaking in November 2001, the Senegal-born University of Illinois graduate student said he had been dumbfounded by news of the plane striking the World Trade Center and the Pentagon and the realization that the attackers claimed to act in the name of his religion.
Here I am in class, and I was discussing the issues with my students, and I'm talking about a particular example where one company lost about 700 people. And I'm explaining and explaining and discussing. And then the next thing I know, I was crying like a baby in front of my students in class. That is just how bad this had actually affected me, really.
When he spoke those words, Ndoye was part of a panel of local Muslims speaking on WYLL's Focus 580. Nowadays, Ndoye is teaching at Parkland College and serves on the board of the Central Illinois Mosque and Islamic Center in Urbana. 10 years on, the feelings from that day haven't escaped him.
Disbelief, shock, dismay, disgust. It was unbelievable that anybody who is a Muslim, who is familiar with the teachings of Islam, would ever consider such an action. And not only that, making a claim of it, taking credit for such a horrible action.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. I'm at the Central Illinois Mosque at the start of noon prayers. The prayer hall is set at an angle to the other rooms at the mosque so that it faces Mecca, one of the unique features of an otherwise nondescript building. But just the public knowledge of its purpose has made the Urbana Mosque an occasional target since 9/11. The mosque received some threatening phone calls in 1 year and suffered some vandalism in another. The vandalism came in 2006, the year that the U of I's student newspaper, the Daily Illini, published some of the controversial Danish cartoons depicting the Prophet Muhammad. But for the most part, Ndoye says Champaign-Urbana's Muslim community has received expressions of support in the wake of the 9/11 attacks.
Do you know that when 9/11 happened, in fact, people from around the community, not Muslims, around the community actually sought the help of the police to come and provide security to this mosque?
Waleed Jassim, another mosque board member, says he's also had heartwarming encounters with non-Muslims, including one on the very day the attacks occurred.
One of the very conservative person in where I work, she approached me and she said, "Listen, I want you and your family to come and stay with us at the farm." She said, "Just in case if somebody decide to harm you guys or you or your family, I want you to stay with us until this problem settles."
Ndoye and Jassim say the warmth and support they've encountered has led to opportunities for dialogue with many local groups in the past decade, including churches. They say the more people learn about their Muslim neighbors, the more they'll realize that the violence caused by the 9/11 hijackers has no place in their religion. I'm Jim Meadows, Illinois Public Media.
For extended interviews and a video tour of the Urbana Mosque, go to our community engagement website, willconnect.org.
Sunday, special coverage from NPR News, the 10th anniversary of 9/11. I'm Neil Conan. Ted Koppel joins us as we check in with events around the country and take your calls to remember the collective experience of the worst terror attack in American history. That's NPR News special coverage, the 10th anniversary of 9/11.
Sunday afternoon from 1 to 4 on AM 580.